Ozzy Osbourne. This is Iron Man, Black Sabbath. Ozzy passed away today, age of 76, did his farewell concert just a couple weeks ago with Black Sabbath, where it all began. He was suffering from Parkinson's, also suffering from 76 years of partying hard.
I say that
with respect, because like, he lived the rock and roll lifestyle, and my guess is someone like Ozzy Osbourne, you know, wouldn't want a long, drawn out, like, do my thing, get my final show in, and peace.
I had the conversation with my two older kids. You know, Chaz is 5. He doesn't know what's going on. But when Randy died, I was like, hey, you know, whenever Daddy passes, I'm going to tell y'all, Daddy has lived an amazing life. Just don't feel bad for me. Throw a party, because I partied my whole life. I had a good time. So keep the good times going. And that's what I try to do for Randy, too. And I know Ozzy enjoyed himself. I didn't know him, but I watched him enjoy life.
We saw his style. Rest in peace, Ozzy Osbourne. Let's do a look at the headlines here with Solana, because John Michaels is going to join us from ACC Media Days in Charlotte, where he did his morning show for 680 The Fan in Atlanta today. So headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. And by the way, we normally play Georgie at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, but we had to make an audible today to honor the late, great Ozzy Osbourne. Headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Carson Beck was on SportsCenter just a few minutes ago. He's been making the rounds day one of ACC Media Days up in Charlotte. And Mario Cristobal spoke earlier today. He talked about Carson Beck. The money quote flying around right now from Carson Beck earlier when he was at the podium in Charlotte. He called coming to Miami, he says, will be what he thinks will be one of the better decisions that he's ever made.
I hope so, man. Nothing would make me happier to agree with him when the season's over.
Financially, yes.
Yes.
For him.
That's no question. Yeah.
He's playing on a less talented team, and he couldn't get in the Heisman race up there.
Right. Although he's 100% healthy now, though, right? That's what he said. I'm going to ask John Michaels.
Yes. Yeah, we got to ask John, but just think about what he was playing with at Georgia, and he was a very good quarterback. I'm not saying he's you didn't buy a lemon. Carson Beck is a hell of a quarterback, but you're going to see a drop-off from Cameron Ward. Like, we talked about it. Like,
I'm not certain there's anyone in college football that's not a drop-off from Cam Ward, to be quite honest.
It's maybe the boy Arch Manning. But to your point, I have to reach if I'm going to say Arch Manning's about to be Cam Ward.
Right.
But one of the things, Crowder, here's why. I get what you're saying. Last year, Carson Beck didn't look like the guy that he looked like 2 years ago. But something Cristobal said today, I was listening to his comments. He said something along the lines of, a year ago today at ACC Media Days, Carson Beck was a projected first-round pick. Like, the idea of him not going in the first round, nobody thought that was going to happen. And Cam Ward was projected to be a late NFL draft pick, fourth, fifth. Maybe if he had a really good season, he could get into the second, late first round. Nobody expected Cam Ward to have the type of season he had and elevate him to the number one, surefire number one overall pick. So all this to say, man, if Carson Beck can get back to where he was 2 years ago, there's a reason why he was projected to be a first-round pick. He just has to play like that. It wasn't because people just assumed he would be good. He showed it. Like, there's a track record with Carson Beck. There's tape of him being elite, him being great. So maybe he can get back to that. Maybe he can get back to that level.
Oh, no, and I'm with you. I would reach and say the Georgia Bulldogs football team had more around them than Cam had.
And totally agree.
Yeah, they're more talented. They were winning national championships 2-3 years ago. So, like, now he's with a less talented team. And, yeah, I'm not saying he's bad, but he has a lot of work to do. But, Solana, to your point, I didn't know. We have a whole montage of me talking about, man, Cam Ward was out there at Washington State. What was he going to do? So, to your point, I hope this offense brings the best top-notch Carson Beck y'all could imagine.
Now, don't forget, I've got my montage of Tate Martell.
Yeah, I think I was a little bit better than you. I didn't believe in Cam. You said Tate's going to change the program.
It was today, 3 years ago, that the Panthers traded Jonathan Huberdeau for Matthew Tkachuk. I crushed the Panthers on Twitter that night for doing it. And then halfway during Paul Maurice's first season, I called for his firing. I said Tate Martell would be the next Heisman Trophy winning quarterback for the University of Miami. What were some of my other good ones, Solana?
I mean, those are two of your best ones.
I know, but I there's something else I'm forgetting. There's another one that's a doozy.
I mean, you have so many.
I'll come up with it.
You've got so many. You know.
I mean, it could be Matt Mervis, but he was shadow banned. We all agree.
No, Matt Mervis is terrible.
No, he was shadow banned.
And he's not good at baseball.
Well, no, that's not fair. He was shadow banned. He was very good at baseball.
I said Cam was going to get overwhelmed in the ACC. That was wrong. It was a receiver that went to the Dolphins. I was about to change the organization, and he couldn't catch a pass for 8 games. We got some takes, Hawk. Callaway. Antonio Callaway was about to be O.J. McDuffie.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Antonio Callaway for an entire training camp. First 4 weeks, you wanted Antonio Callaway.
I did it last season with Odell Beckham. I could not. I mean, oh my God. The third option after Tyreek and Waddle is Odell Beckham, who might be better than both of them? That was my thing.
He's going to be wide open.
Yeah, well, how about Hawk for an entire offseason just ridiculing me for suggesting that one season's worth of Tua Tagovailoa playing 17 straight games wasn't enough for me to just assume he'll be healthy for the remainder of his career. I mean, an entire offseason saying that I'm a Tua hater, that I'm ridiculous. Hey, he stayed healthy last year. Week 2, guys on the ground fencing again. Week 2.
Okay, Julian Hill.
I was going to say, Solana, we all talking about our losses. You bring up your win.
This dude suggested trading Matthew Tkachuk in the middle of the playoff run this season for the Panthers. He said Brad Marchand was going to be a bum right as the playoffs were starting. So don't even, Solana. Skylar Thompson, Skylar Thompson, start ahead of Tua.
Give him a chance against Tua. Skylar to Julian Hill worked out well, didn't it, Solana?
Yeah, but imagine. I had the Miami Heat in 2023, game one, going to the NBA Finals. Guess what? They're in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, and last season you put your knee on the court, and Jimmy Butler couldn't get out of there fast enough.
When it stood on your knee print on every offensive possession.
Speaking of the Miami Hurricanes, Jimmy sent me this yesterday via the Atlantic. Top 25 most valuable college football programs in the country. You guys see this list?
No. Mm-mm. Texas.
Number one is Texas.
Yeah, they got stupid money.
$2.38 billion. They're the only program in the $2 billion range.
So what is it? Like, what does it mean? What they're...
Most valuable college football programs.
So what it's worth to the university?
I don't know, Hawk. I didn't actually read the article. I'm just looking at a graphic here. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, because that's a very confusing statement. The most valuable, like, I don't know, value in what?
I think the most money spent on players.
No, they haven't spent $2.3 billion.
$1 billion.
Listen, I know some of the numbers that these kids are getting.
Do you know how much you'd have to be giving players to get to $2 billion? You'd have to have 20 players minimum making $100 million.
Sounds about right.
I just looked up because it's in the Athletic. I just looked up the article. What are college football? This is a headline. What are college football programs actually worth? It's complicated. I'm not reading that.
You love the headline, though.
Yeah. Well, anyways, thanks for ruining what could have been a great
Well, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
You've got Crowder thinking they're playing.
Think about how could you
Crowder
value
the starting offense and the starting defense are all getting $100 million a season at Texas.
Man, I'm salty about this NIL, Hawk. They sort of suspend me because dude give me $200 in my hand. I get suspended. These dudes making $4 million.
All right. Well, the Canes were 24th, valued at $604 million. UF, number 12, at $1.08 billion.
Hawk, the whole top 10 is SEC schools.
No, incorrect.
But what does it mean?
Who?
But you're arguing something. We don't even know what this list is for. You're going to cape up for the SEC? We have no idea what this list is about.
There's more
blue
Big
and
Ten. There's
blue
more
and yellow flag.
There's more Big Ten, Big Ten schools than there are SEC schools.
Well, Michigan, Ohio State.
Ohio
I don't
State.
Know what I'm talking about. Now I'm just yelling names.
You see, the AAC has changed their name to just the American Conference.
Yeah, new mascot, too.
Yeah, an eagle. That'll reel everybody in.
I know what
Who's in the American Conference? I don't even know. Is that what FIU is in?
No, FIU is in the Conference USA. I actually know this because I've been playing a lot of college football, the newest college football game. Do you guys want it? Like, there's a Florida school in the AAC.
FAU.
Yeah.
Well, there is no AAC.
Whatever. Whatever it's called now. The American.
Well, don't dismiss my FAU owls that way.
USF?
They're in the American?
Yeah.
No. What are they in?
USF Bulls are in the American.
Really? Ooh, how they have fallen. Were they always in the American?
Yes. All right. Let's move on.
How much are they worth? $38.
Hey, man, I put their team on the credit card. Easy. I own the Owls.
USF, it's $50 on a Sephora card.
You can buy them with Robux.
They hand out USF like bourbon chicken at the mall. Whoever wants some.
USF.
Today, Tyreek Hill spoke to the media. We covered it a little bit, but Tyreek basically said that he's matured and he's got to be a better leader in times of peril for the team, and talked about his new mentality going into 2025.
Somebody texts in, the list is about if it were a privately held company based upon its revenues, what would it be worth?
Does that satisfy your question?
But I don't know.
Yeah,
how
but
they
I don't
do
know.
That.
Do you own the stadium? Do you like? There's still a lot up in the air as far as
I was going to say. Who's paying? You know, the athletic program right. is paying this. The sponsors are paying that. The boosters are paying this. I think this list is stupid.
Since when?
I think Solana's stupid.
Since when are you guys trying to actually have like a legitimate? Insightful,
well,
introspective conversation.
This one was particularly stupid. This one was particularly
stupid.
I mean, stupid.
I present you a list. We could have clowned on UF for not being in the top 10, Hawk. I was going to come in and say, oh, sorry, Jimmy, St. Thomas snubbed. Like, I had a whole thing, and then Hawk's like, well, what does it mean? What does it mean?
doesn't make any sense. What's the value of the college football team, and then you come out with $2.4 billion? I don't get it. What comes with them? The moon?
All Darren Waller told Joe Shad he fully understands there's going to be times that he is asked to get his hands dirty, and he said he's willing to do whatever is needed.
All right. Telling y'all, if Darren plays well, it's going to open the offense up.
No doubt.
Don't send him in there to block nobody, though. That's a waste of time.
All right, a couple other things. I can delete most valuable football programs list off my show sheet.
Let's hear the football.
Maybe that's a better list.
Yeah. What's the football list?
Los Modelins, they lost 2-1 yesterday to the Fathers. They'll play again tonight, 6:40. Edward Cabrera is on the mound tonight, and tomorrow they'll play a nooner, and it's a sandy afternoon. Sandy afternoon at Lone Depot Park.
That doesn't mean the same as it used to.
Mm-mm. In fact, it means the opposite.
You saw, just speaking of baseball, very quickly, you saw the Phillies, how they won their game last night. Any of you see this?
Was that the catcher's interference?
Catcher interference walk-off. Yeah.
Mm. And he was trying to check swing. I saw that.
I had a parlay yesterday, so I had Stowers over, to get at least one hit. He did his job.
Yeah.
And then in the Cubs game, PCA wasn't playing. I don't know, rare Monday off. So I went hit, I think, Alex Witt, that who plays for the Royals. Those Cubs were playing the Royals.
Are you asking us who plays for the Royals?
Yeah. It came from DJ.
Hey, Doug.
DJ was like, take Witt for a hit. So I got him. So Stowers got a hit. Witt got a hit. All I needed was Seiya Suzuki from the Cubbies to get a hit. Guy stinks. 0-4.
Guy stinks.
Your weather right now in South Florida, 90 degrees, hot. Tonight, the lows, I don't know. It's going to be hot, though. Promise you that. That's your weather.
Speaking of DJ, he's down at Funky Buddha right now, and I just got a text from him during this segment that says, can he be my dad or something? Which I'm imagining is Ryan taking DJ's phone and pretending that DJ wants Ryan to be his dad.
Hey, Hawk, take that deal.
Listen, I'm going to text him back. I'll throw in mom.
Take that deal, Hawk.
John Michaels is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk some Canes with him.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Got a horse running at Saratoga? Give me anything. You got a lottery ticket? You got some numbers? What do you got? John Michaels, he hosts mornings on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. You can hear him nationally on ESPN Radio as well at times. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He is broadcasting this week at ACC Media Days in Charlotte. So you have any first day takeaways? I'm sure you did. You speak with Mario today? Did you speak with Carson Beck? What was on your agenda?
Yeah, we spoke with both Mario and Carson Beck. I think me and Mario are now best friends. I think we
really
had
because
that.
You
we
had texted me that he was not going to be happy with you.
No, I just he makes me nervous. I mean, he's not a little dude, and he walks in very intense. But when he saw all the ink, he gave me good dap. We spent literally 20 plus minutes with Mario, and then had a chance to talk to him afterwards. And that's my guy. So yeah, I'm ready for a big year for Coach Cristobal.
Oh, you're muted, Crowder. Crowder's trying to ask you a question, but he's muted. He's up in New Jersey.
I had a great question planned, John. My question was off the chain. I was just muted. No, we talked about this earlier in the show, John, about Carson Beck, where my thing is he is a two-time national champion, but he's not an All-American. And now he's playing with a lesser supporting staff because Georgia was loaded when they were winning. Like, do you see Carson coming in? He's not going to be Cam Ward. We know he's not going to be Cam Ward. But I don't see him. I'll put my opinion out there, John. I don't see him coming in and just now becoming an ACC quarterback of the year or anything like that. Do you think he can do that coming to Miami under this offense? Because I questioned Cam when he came from Washington and then he did what he did.
Right. I do think he can do all of that. And I'm gonna disagree a little bit. You know, he wasn't the starting quarterback when they won national titles. That was Stetson Bennett. Carson did take him to an SEC title game 2 years ago. They won the SEC championship last year. But I didn't think he was supporting cast, especially on the offensive side a season ago, was very good. Their O-line was mediocre to Georgia standards. Their receivers led the country in drop passes a year ago. And they couldn't run the ball, which is, you know, again, goes against everything that Kirby Smart preaches at UGA. I think he has a chance. Like, we had a chance, obviously, to vote for players of the year and everything. And I've got Carson back. Now, was there some orange and green homerism around that? Absolutely. But I think him and Cade Klubnik are going to be the two best quarterbacks in the ACC. And Crowder, we had a chance to talk to Carson. It's the first time I've had, like, sit down. It was my show and Carson, and we probably spent, you know, close to 25 minutes talking to him. And I couldn't have been more impressed, because we get that whole preconceived notion and all the conversation about him being a bad teammate, and some of the stuff that happened allegedly at Georgia that he wasn't around. I did not get that impression at all. Very engaging, very outgoing. And he even said, you know, I'm an introvert away from football. He goes, but, you know, he talked to us from everything from working with the receivers, getting to know people, what it was like to transfer in, how hard he's had to work, you know, to kind of be accepted, all of that different stuff. And I think he's got a chance to have a sensational year coming up in 2025.
Man, I hope you are right, man. Mm-hmm. The early line, I forget who he asked. Oh, I guess Lee Sterling. Yeah. The early line for the UM Notre Dame game at the end of next month is Notre Dame -3. You have an early lean?
Give me the money line in Miami. I'm not worried about no damn Notre Dame coming to town. Now, look, they run the football really well with Jeremiah Love. They've got a really good defense, although they lost pieces and they lost their defensive coordinator in Al Golden. They're starting a redshirt freshman quarterback who's never started a game. And I get it. Hard Rock Stadium in Miami's not always the loudest place. But when it's full, you know, once or twice a year, and the maniac Miami fans like myself come out of hiding and decide to be loud, it's going to be different. And if Corey Heatherman can do anything, you know, change the fortune of the defensive side of the ball, get after it, stop the run. And Minnesota was a top 10 statistical defense a year ago, where he didn't have half the talent he has at Miami. Make a redshirt freshman quarterback come out and throw. And to Crowder's point about Carson Beck, while he may not have been the perfect quarterback at Georgia, he played at Alabama. He played at Texas. He played in SEC championship games. He played in monster games everywhere. Playing against Notre Dame is not going to have any fear or anything for him. I think Notre Dame walks in and walks out of there with a loss. Maybe not as resounding as it was when they played them all the way back in 2017 and we beat the Irish off those dudes. But I think they come to Miami and they leave out of there lower in the rankings than they were when they walked in. I think Miami's got a real good shot to beat them.
And John, you're up there at SEC Media Day. In the SEC, is it the normal people? You know, it's Texas, it's Georgia, even being a Gator. Like, I know we have some ways to go. Even, hell, Tennessee looks good. But what do you see in the SEC? It's a way too early top 10, I guess, whatever it is. But is it Texas, Georgia 1 and 2? And where does it go from there?
You know, it's crazy, Crowder. We were at SEC Media Days last week, and it's almost like the media just read magazines, and all they heard was Arch Manning, because overwhelmingly, people in that building think Texas is going to run away with everything. And I said, you know, I think Texas will be good. Arch Manning's starts are against UT San Antonio. I think it was maybe Louisiana Monroe and Mississippi State. So he's never played in a monster matchup where he was a starting quarterback. Oh, guess what? They start the year on the road against Ohio State. I think Texas will be good, but I don't know that they're going to be, you know, run away with the SEC. I think Georgia, crazy, is a little bit overlooked, partly because Carson Beck's gone. Nobody knows anything about Gunnar Stockton. They brought in a bunch of transfers at receiver. You know, they're replacing a ton of pieces on defense, even though Georgia reloads with five-star after five-star. I think people are overlooking them, and I truly think Alabama's due for a bounce back. I think all of us wanted to bury Bama, obviously, with what happened last year, losing to Vandy and Oklahoma, losing your bowl game to a bad Michigan team. But, you know, you get Kalen DeBoer getting his offensive coordinator back, Ryan Grubb, who spent 1 year in Seattle with the Seahawks. I think their quarterback in Ty Simpson is a better fit for what they want to do. I think Milrow was a better quarterback, but Simpson will be a better fit, and they loaded up once again. To answer your question, I think it's the usual suspects. Throw LSU in there, who brought 18 transfers in. They have a quarterback returning in Garrett Nussmeier, who's been there before, and Brian Kelly better win now, because you can't keep losing three games at LSU and think that everything's going to be okay.
Speaking of the usual suspects in the SEC, and of course Crowder has to bring up the SEC, so fine, I'll piggyback. I'll play ball, Crowder. John, I know you loved Rhett Lashley just ripping the SEC to shreds today with what I believe to be a factual statement where he's like, hey, six schools for the last 60 years have won titles out of the SEC, nobody else. There's no depth there, as much as, you know, guys like Crowder want to make it believe like every SEC school could go win any other conference that they wanted to.
No, they can't. And it's so spot on what Rhett Lashley said today. You think about the teams that consistently win it. We just talked about them. Throw Florida in there. I give the Gators credit. Tennessee, give them credit. They won titles. Kentucky's not winning anything. Ole Miss, for all the flash and style of Lane Kiffin, they're not winning a damn thing. Mississippi State's not winning anything. South Carolina, maybe this year. Maybe. Got a quarterback, got a defensive lineman in Dylan Stewart who's really, really good. But those teams historically don't win anything. You know what they do, Solana? They piggyback off the rest of the conference. Mm-hmm. They go, ooh, we're in the big bad SEC, and their weirdo fans chant SEC at you. And it's like, dude, you just cheered against Tennessee 2 weeks ago. Now you're cheering for them because you're an SEC fan. There's no depth. There's no depth in every conference. Every conference has about four teams that are better than everybody else, and everybody else in the conference maybe has 1 year out of 10 that they rise up and do something. So Coach Lashley was spot on. We had a chance to talk to his quarterback, Kevin Jennings. That kid's got it together. He's not going to beat Miami in November, but I wish him a lot of luck the rest of the season.
What just happened?
SEC, what he's saying, Crowder, is kind of like Girl Scout cookies, miniature golf, or sweet potato fries, which is we're hypnotized to believe that, you know, oh, they're so good and miniature golf is so fun. But if you really break it down, no one likes miniature golf. No one likes sweet potato fries. No one likes Girl Scout cookies. SEC is not as deep and as good as you think. And to be quite honest, with the AAC rebranding as the American and having an eagle as a mascot, we're really going to need to start talking about that.
Guys play out of the SEC that can't play in the SEC. I'll tell you that much.
He's falling for it hook, line, and sinker, John.
Is that just mute button sad. Still working up there?
it's so sad to see it. Hey, are you watching Quarterback on Netflix?
I didn't, and that's because Kirk Cousins is on there. We played a lot of the cuts. Obviously, for us locally, he was the story. Yeah, we don't. Do the Dolphins need a backup? Please come get him.
Yes, we actually do. I would take him in a heartbeat over Zach Wilson. You think the Dolphins made a mistake having Zach Wilson as the backup for Tua?
Look, if Tua's hurt, it doesn't matter who's back there. You could have Kirk Cousins. You could have Brett Favre. Hell, you might be able to trot out Big Dan at this point. Zach Wilson was a unmitigated bust, like one of the worst second overall picks ever. But he's a backup quarterback. Anytime you're going to your backup quarterback, you're in a little bit of trouble. I would have liked to see the Dolphins get a veteran who maybe can come in, assuming that Tua's going to miss four or five games somewhere throughout the regular season. That's what I said. Call Terry Fontenot. Get Chris Greer on the phone. Call Terry Fontenot. See what they want for Kirk Cousins. Hell, we'll take Zach Wilson right now just to get Kirk Cousins out of town.
What? Why? Wait a second. Why? I love this guy on quarterback. You want who's going to be the starter?
Oh, it's Penix. It's not even a doubt. Kirk Cousins is the backup. Here's why. So the whole saga that unfolded last year, we were all in on Kirk. You're 6-3. He clearly got hurt against New Orleans. And I know they showed this on the quarterback documentary.
Yes.
He gets hurt. He tells the trainer he's hurt. They then have a bye week, or I think they play Denver the next week. They get obliterated like 38-6. Then there's a bye week. He's clearly hurt. They asked him point blank because he showed up on the injury report on a Wednesday, and he goes, no, I'm not hurt. It's a clerical error. He then goes out to have two more weeks after the bye week, a bye week in which instead of staying and getting treatment, he went to Michigan to get his jersey retired and spent a week up there, came back then, threw one touchdown and nine interceptions. The season unravels. After the season, he then goes during Super Bowl week and goes, yeah, I was hurt during the season. And he calls our owner, Arthur Blank, and basically begs to be traded to a place where he can be a starter. And now he goes on Netflix and they have the whole thing with, oh, my arm. Oh, I was hurt. I don't feel bad for him at all. He's been a thief his career. He's had a career where he's made over $300 million, and he has one more playoff win than Hawk and I have combined as a starting quarterback of the NFL.
I think it's proof that he's a gamer.
Yeah.
You believe in Penix, though, or you just want something different?
I like what I see out of Penix. I mean, it was a really small sample size last year. We got to see him start three games. Two of the games, we were down in the fourth quarter, and he led game-tying touchdown drives. Unfortunately, we lost both the games because we never touched the ball in overtime, and the defense was an absolute sieve. The kid has a cannon for an arm. He can make every throw. He's done everything right in the offseason, but it's obviously a wait and see. His completion percentage was under 60%, which I don't like, and I think a lot of times he was big play hunting. He's got to find a way in the NFL to get that percentage up 65, 67%, but he's got all the tools that we're looking for, and we've got offensive pieces around him that really can make some plays and maybe put up some big numbers in the league.
John Michaels, he's at ACC Media Days in Charlotte. Enjoy Charlotte. What do they got up there? They got like cookout. What do they have for like
barbecue
food there? But that fast food place called Cookout. That's like a famous chain.
Yeah.
No, here Cookout's great. They have those in Georgia. Any place you can get chicken nuggets as a side instead of fries is a friend of mine. And at Cookout, you can go there and be like, hey, I want a number two, but give me nuggets instead of fries as my side. So you get a burger and nuggets. Oh, you can't have a better place than that. Oh, you've never had that before?
Places offer that. I didn't even know that was a thing. I know at Raising Cane's, you can get double toast. That way you forego the coleslaw. You get two pieces of their delicious toast. You're telling me at Cookout, you can sub nuggets for fries?
Yes. And that's what makes Cookout a very, very must-stop place when you're in Georgia or the Carolinas.
Oh, my God. I got to consider moving. That's unbelievable. It's no upcharge?
No. Well, maybe there is. I don't know. 49 cents. I'm not sure what the upcharge is anymore. I have kids. So when I look, like, I go to a fast food place and they're like $52.05. Excuse me? I'm like, I don't want to work here. I just want, a couple of number threes. Like, what the hell's going on?
Isn't that crazy? You literally can't get a pizza delivered for less than $30.
Like it's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I remember my dad like going out with my mom and handing me a $10 bill and going, "Hey, if you want to get a pizza tonight, just make sure you leave me the change."
The change.
You wouldn't get a slice and a drink now.
If I could, like anytime Kane asks me for money now, and he loves to do this now, Dad, can I get 10? Dad, I need 15. What do you need 15 for? Oh, I'm at Zaxby's. The hell are you getting at Zaxby's? It's 15. Well, I want the milkshake as well. Like if I give him $10, he wouldn't be able to eat.
It's very difficult to get a meal for $10, even at a fast food place.
100%. If you go into Mickey D's, you can still get the Big Mac meal. Now, you better not upcharge. You better get the large fries and the large Coke. And by the way, the large Coke's overrated. The amount of soda that they give you is almost, it's almost like stroke-inducing the amount that they give you. Like, those cups, they're too big. Nobody needs all of that.
Hey, John, the birthday cake milkshake at Zaxby's, and have you ever tried the fried cheesecake bites with, like, the little strawberry dipping sauce? Oh,
ooh, I've not had that one. We love they've got the loaded fries now, which again is just great. They pile chicken and sauce and everything on this at Zaxby's. The birthday cake milkshake is fantastic. What was the one you just said? Cheesecake, fried cheesecake was
fried cheesecake bites, and they give you like a little I don't know if it's strawberry or like a little dipping sauce. Oh, so good, man, delicious. Yeah.
$76.
But you're there in Atlanta. You got the Varsity right there. I mean,
the Varsity is garbage. I'm telling you, the Varsity is garbage.
You got to eat at the Varsity, man. That's where the good food is.
The hot dog is one of the five most useless food items on a menu ever. Why would I ever go somewhere to get a hot dog? Never, ever in my life.
Please tell him the Varsity is just good marketing. The food is garbage.
Yeah, it's one that if you stop at in the late night and you need to clear out the system, it's the perfect place to clear out the system.
I refuse to believe that. I've never been to the Varsity, but I refuse to believe that it's garbage. There's no way it could have been around this long with it being garbage.
No, it's got a prime location in downtown, right across the street from Georgia Tech's campus. That's how it got famous. People go there to park their car. Nobody's going there for the actual food.
Exactly. So, Lana, you went to the away game at Georgia Tech, right? Isn't that where you wear the, you know, the very subtle UM clothing? Did you walk across the street to the varsity?
Wasn't subtle. I met up with John Michaels at that game. He saw I was wearing a UM hat. And no, we did not walk across the street to the varsity, but
the UM was stitched on the inside of the hat, right? Because you didn't want to get beat up at the Georgia Tech game. Isn't that what I remember?
It was not stitched inside the hat. This is what I deal with, John. One picture with my hat turned back, and all of a sudden I was hiding from Georgia Tech fans all game.
I've never seen a UM fan go to a Georgia Tech game wearing royal blue and a backwards hat.
What'd you say? Nothing.
What I'm trying to figure out, Hawk, as you said, him get beat up at Georgia Tech, of all campuses in the world, the last campus you have to worry about getting beat up is Georgia Tech.
He gets a little mouthy. That could happen anywhere. He can get beat up at Temple. All right, and I'm not talking about the college. All right, we'll see you, John. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Okay.
John Michaels from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Let's take a break. 4 o'clock hour is next on Hockman, Crowder, and Solana.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
You have Tua, you can make Tua Tartar.